WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Spot.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Ooh. It's a new day, you know how I feel.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is the night of WWE Survivor Series, and we will be asking, what did survive? Championships, teammates, attention spans, but that's all coming up for now. This is Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
I'm drunk! I'm so fucking drunk, you have no idea.
Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, it's gonna be one of those nights.
Okay, I'll be quiet now.
Yeah. Well... Also joining us, the hopefully more sober, but no less out of her mind, Lindsay Ward.
I'm just super happy.
We'll get there.
I'm drunk. She's super happy. It's a good night.
Mace is really, really happy drunk.
I got paid today. That doesn't quite compare.
I got paid today, too. It's awesome. I can buy Christmas presents now. Except for World of Warcraft time.
Okay, Mr. Producer.
Good night, everybody.
Hell.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by MemlyandPromo.com and PWMania.com. Hi, everyone listening on Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter, and PWMania, and all that fun stuff. Say hi to everyone, Mace.
Hi!
Half this show is high as a kite.
I'm not high, I'm drunk. I don't do drugs.
At least he's a happy drunk.
He's a happy drunk, and we're going to keep him that way for the next hour or so as we break...
Say no to drugs! That's what the video game said in the 90s.
As we break down WWE Survivor Series.
Winners don't use drug. Big blue screen. Eagle. Flag.
Alright.
Oh, boy.
To get it out of the way, because I know she's really, 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 really excited... Everyone, turn your attentions to the technology screen right now. As you can see on the technology screen, someone made the WWE app. Ain't that right, Lindsay?
Again. But yes, Portrait of Wyatt made the WWE app. I'm so excited and happy and proud and thrilled and everything. And oh my god, it's amazing and awesome. Thank you, WWE. Thank you so much. Now please give me a job. Thumbs up.
So yes, Lindsay Ward made the app.
We should all get jobs with that company. After all, we provide them with 95% of their storylines.
Kind of booked the format.
You people don't have jobs with that? Oh,
Wait, what?
Nothing.
He's noting all this down as we speak. Yes, and if you'd like to...
How long till you guys kick me off?
We're not going to kick you off.
Never.
I'm just going to talk and sort of work around you at this point. It's called Saturday Night All Over Again. At least I can understand you. If you'd like to
really
buy...
Because, you know, I have the accent.
Yeah, you're more coherent than Subway when he's really, really high. I'm just pointing that one out.
Oh, shit, I better get more bourbon then.
Oh, no.
And as I was trying to get out the plug, Lindsay, how can they find your awesome artwork?
Well, you can go to Behance.net/Linsward, LINSWRD. It's there. And it's also on my Redbubble, which is linked on my website, psychwarddesigns.com, and it's under the contact section, because Portrait of a Wyatt is actually available for sale. So if you would like to buy it, you can purchase it on my Redbubble store.
And we have a direct link right now on @WildTalkRadio on Twitter and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
And you should have seen it on the app, because they had ads for the app inside the app inside the app.
Absolutely.
I'm not bullshitting.
They do have ads for the app inside the app.
I know. It's like they had the app for the pay-per-view, and they said, here, download the app. So I pushed the button, and it took me to the app page. But I already got the app. I don't need it again.
Welcome to the app. Do you want the app?
Totally. I'm going to download it now.
So you have have an app for the app, so the app will actually work with your app.
So they're becoming like Apple?
That sounds like Apple.
Oh,
are you sure you want me on the show, Rock?
If you would like to call in and talk to the drunk, get the number is 267-297-1397, because that will just be awesome.
If you'd like to call in tonight, the fuck is wrong with you?
You have less of a life than we do.
So. This show, I took full notes on this goddamn show. I don't know why. We started.
Hey, Kane Kittens, good luck on recapping this shit.
The Survivor Series kicked off with an interesting panel: Bret Hart, Mick Foley, and Booker T. Bret Hart got gray. Mick Foley has a really large goatee beard thing. And Booker T looked like an older black woman with the way he was dressed.
From the picture I was shown before, he looked like he wanted to eat his own hand.
That came later. Early on, he looked like a woman. Anyway, our opening contest of the evening featured The Miz and Kofi Kingston. Thoughts on this one, Lindsay?
It was a good match. It was a really solid match. It seemed like they were into it. Miz and Kofi had some really nice exchanges back and forth verbally. Kofi got a hell of a bitch slap in at the end.
He did indeed get a hell of a bitch slap in at the very end. Did you see this one, Omeka?
Unfortunately, I did not, so I've been quite occupied today.
Aha. What about you, Mace?
I saw it. This was before I started drinking.
Okay.
It's your fault, Miz.
So
no, it's not Miz's fault.
So
predictable! This whole pay-per-view predictable. Except for one match, which I think it's the only match I got wrong.
Yeah, you do.
I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz!
Rock, you're going to have some amazing clips from this.
Yeah, I know.
Don't you dare clip any of this shit, you bastard!
going to be a commercial.
If this becomes a commercial, I'm going to fucking kick you in your non-existent nuts.
Gee, that sounds like a, you know, a Canadian threat.
Okay, I'll give you a good one. I'm going to take the wheels off your wheelchair, bitch.
Hey, Subway's joining us tonight, folks.
I'm drunk, not high. Fuck.
So as Miz wins by reversing a roll-up on Kofi Kingston, the match was you know, a solid match. And then, as Lindsay said, Kofi bitch-slapped the Miz after Miz offered to shake Kofi's hands, and, well, Kofi wanted none of that.
Miz, pick what the fuck you are. You heel or your face? Pick one.
This... Okay, I did read the recap, and this just sounded weird. I'm not sure how it came off, because Miz turns heel on Monday, comes in, and now he's shaking hands.
I think he was trying to set Kofi up. That's the way it came off to me. And Kofi outsmarted the Miz. That's what I'm taking from it.
It was weird. They sort of, like, when the Miz was coming out, they said that he talked on the app or on SmackDown or something, where he said that he was saying to Kofi, you know, let's go out and prove to these guys why we should be in the main event. Which, sort of a face thing to do, but the Miz is heel. I'm going to have another drink.
You go have another drink, Mace, because we're going to get to the opening of the show. But before we get to the opening of the show, we had CM Punk and Daniel Bryan cut a promo basically calling themselves Team GOAT. You know, the greatest of all teams.
I like this.
You do?
It'll sell t-shirts.
By the way, CM Punk has a new t-shirt if anyone didn't see it.
I saw. I might buy it. But I want a GOAT t-shirt. Greatest of all teams.
Okay.
I want the new white one.
Better than Team Hell No. At least this one makes sense. Should have been Anger Buddies.
Totally should have been Anger Buddies.
Totally.
Yes, yes. We open up the pay-per-view with the Authority, who came out and basically told the crowd there will be no physical interference at any point during this show.
Wink, wink, hint, hint.
Nudge, nudge. They kind of, you know, told you what was going to happen at some point. So, we opened up the show with the first official match, and it was the Elimination Survivor Series match, the traditional one. Goldust, Cody Rhodes, The Usos, and Rey Mysterio taking on The Shield and The Real Americans. Before this matchup began, I'm going to get this out there, Zeb twerked.
That was scary.
So did Cody.
Cody also twerked.
That's what started me drinking. That was the first. That was at the point where I decided I was going to have a drink.
Let's be.
Zeb Coulter was drinking, and I didn't have eye bleach.
Let's be perfectly honest here. It's not the most disturbing thing we've seen someone from the Rhodes family do.
No, no, and even Goldust looked shocked when it happened.
Yeah.
Okay, when Goldust is freaked out, you need to reevaluate.
It's been all over Tumblr all night long. Zeb twerking, not so much. Cody twerking, well, it's been all over Tumblr.
Why didn't Cody have face paint?
I don't know, they kind of teased...
You got Goldust with face paint, and the Usos with face paint, and Rey Mysterio's got a mask, so he can't have face paint. So why didn't Cody have face paint?
He should have brought
face
back
paint a mustache on him.
Should have brought back the old broken nose mask he wore for so long.
He brought that back a few weeks ago on the JBL call show. It was awesome.
But he should have done it tonight. Then they could have all been, like, uniform and a team. Why did Cody have to stand out? I'm sorry.
Because he's Cody?
Because he's dashing?
He's not dashing, he's not Sonic the Hedgehog.
Wait, how does Sonic the Hedgehog get into this?
Because Sonic dashes and Cody doesn't.
I want to get Omega's thought on the twerking first.
My brain has no thoughts right now.
I'm sorry, I've thrown the whole show off.
The twerking is just... Twerking's one of those fad things that does not deserve to actually be mentioned in any serious conversation in the first place.
I can screw with your mind a little bit more. It was one of the nominees for Word of the Year.
You're lucky there's no bourbon in this house.
But
want some of mine? I can give you some of mine.
I need it now, Mace.
I'll put it in the mail tomorrow, okay?
It doesn't help him right now.
You can ship alcohol internationally, right?
I just gotta seal the bottle first.
As long as you don't tell them what it is.
There won't be any left by tomorrow.
I've still got a bottle and a quarter. I got plenty. I'm not gonna go through it tonight, though.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to the match.
Fuck me, Tumblr works so quick.
Yeah, I know, right? This was up like 10, not even 5 minutes after it happened.
Oh my god.
Goldust is scared.
Goldust,
I love how the Usos just like pointing and laughing.
Right? Alright, so... The first elimination occurred when Cody pinned Dean Ambrose, and we all went, what? Dean was the first one out?
Never would have called that.
No, none of us called that one.
Dean's no longer the favorite.
Oh, Dean, I knew your mouth would get you in trouble one of these days, and it finally happened. Now I stand by for Bray Wyatt to backhand the bastard, and I'll be good.
Then we had Jack Swagger eliminate an Uso, because they clearly can't tell anyone apart tonight. Cody Rhodes eliminated Cesaro. Cody Rhodes eliminated Cesaro. This led the match down to 5-on-2. We all went, what? Like, seriously, the faces were up 5-on-2.
Roman and Seth have got this. they don't need the real Americans for this crap. They got it.
That's the trick. I mean, you're down to two members of the Shield, but it's the two members of the Shield that work best together.
This is very, very true. And then
fucking Cesaro. Yeah. Did he at least get the spin in? I can't remember.
Both Usos.
Yeah, I was just going to get there. Two giant swings to the Usos.
You can't tell them apart, so it's one giant swing.
Yes.
Here's the thing. He should have been on the outside spinning Rey Mysterio through the whole match. He's light enough, he probably could have made it the whole time.
See, the thing is, me and Lindsay talked about that. We figured Rey's legs would, like, fall off, and he would just go flying.
He should have done this.
I was getting prepared for a fucking Trey Dog style rant. Rey Mysterio won this shit.
I've got this image in my head of Rey Mysterio flying legless into the 14th row. And the ref still having to count him out like he will make it back.
Right? This is an amazing, amazing thought process, right?
Well, with no kneecaps, Rey Mysterio might not make it back for the 10 count.
Take home a wrestler night here in Boston, Massachusetts.
Well, 2/3 of them.
It's a discount. Got a quarter off.
We're leaving off the parts that are broken anyway.
Now, if you get the broken Rey Mysterio, can you return him in for a broken Sin Cara?
Why would you downgrade?
It's the only Sin Cara we got.
But why would you downgrade?
Because Sin Cara can still actually wrestle a little bit.
Oh, you funny.
So as they mentioned, this is where the Shield sort of took over, especially Roman Reigns. He speared Jimmy Uso. Then he speared and eliminated Cody Rhodes. Seth Rollins came in and got rid of Jey Uso with the stomp right to the head. And then Rey Mysterio eliminated Seth Rollins, and this is where everyone thought, oh no, Rey Mysterio is going to win.
C23 bitches, replay. Now, none of you got that, except those of us that are here tonight.
Yes.
But still, I was prepared for it.
You were prepared for it. What about everyone else?
I called Miss... Yeah.
I was ready to start crying.
I was resigned to my fate.
Right.
I called Mysterio to be the lone survivor.
Well, luckily Omega...
Thanks fuck for Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns speared Goldust for an elimination, and then he... killed Rey Mysterio with a spear.
He fucking liquefied his intestines is what he did.
Who's left for Roman Reigns to spear? Fucking Godzilla?
Did you seriously ask who's next?
Did I?
You did.
Kinda.
Wow. I didn't even realize I made a Goldberg reference.
Did you make one earlier?
Did I?
Yeah. You mentioned I believe you mentioned in like 3 hours.
Rock, three quarters of a bottle of Umbra bourbon. I don't remember shit.
Are you still drinking or have you stopped?
I'm still drinking.
And
this is going to be fun.
I've got probably about like a tenth of a glass left of bourbon and Coke, and then I'm going to find something else.
And I quote... Fuck Lesnar vs. Goldberg rematch. Roman vs. Goldberg. Spear vs. Spear.
Yeah, because then Lindsay said Edge and Omega said Jericho. I don't know how Jericho works into it. Did Jericho invent the spear?
That was the probably. WWE storyline. You can't spear me, Goldberg.
Fuck, you got a good memory, because I can't remember that.
Well,
it's Jericho.
Even if I was sober, I can't remember that.
It's Jericho.
It's Jericho and Omega, yeah.
Remember.
We're just going to leave it at that. So, Roman Reigns is the sole survivor for his team.
After wiping out 4 members of the opposing team.
Yeah, see, he gave Seth Rollins a new soul. He was kind.
Well, you know, he loves his Sethy, so...
He does. He does.
Guess who's getting a singles run?
Don't steal my words.
Jey Uso?
Yes, Jey Uso.
Is he the one that's on Total Divas?
I don't know.
No, it's...
You can't tell him apart.
It's Jimmy or John, a.k.a. John Uso, that's on...
Yeah, he...
There's a third?
No, his real name is John, and that's what they call him on Total Divas. By the way, you can check out the Rack Extra, Total Divas Now, on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Yeah, plug.
Damn right.
I believe I called this.
Maybe? I don't know.
I think when I was talking during the Games Garage live stream, Friday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. See, I can plug too. I believe that I called Roman Reigns as a sole survivor on this group.
I'm amazed he remembers what Friday night is right now.
Yeah,
it's Monday afternoon, 3:30 p.m., and I'm drunk.
Yes, you did pick Rowan as the sole survivor.
See, even Kane Kittens agrees with me.
Because he's the one who noted it down.
Shh.
Good lord. So, he's going to be in line for a singles push here at some point. Maybe against our next people in our next contest, the Intercontinental Championship's on the line. Big E Langston versus Curtis Axel.
Boring. This was boring.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, this it's the same thing we got when he won the Intercontinental title on Monday night. It was so straightforward that even a blind man could have seen it reading Braille.
Right.
I'm sorry, this is like a real given of matches. This whole fucking show was just so predictable. Okay. Except for one match, which I got wrong.
Which you got wrong. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Rock. I'm sorry for ruining your show.
You're fine, Mace. You're fine. Don't worry about it. Like I told you before, I've dealt with worse. Lindsay, Omega, thoughts?
Okay, who was in this match?
Big E and Curtis Axel.
Okay. Axel was in this match. How do you think the match went?
In favor of Big E?
I am right there with the drunk man. Just this is boring as shit.
See, even the drunk has better logic than WWE.
Lindsay?
I liked it.
She says shyly.
But I like Axel and Big E, so I enjoy watching them. And so I liked the match. I thought it was fine. I liked Big E's performance afterwards. Sure, it was a cheap shill and a cheap pop, but I liked it. I'm sorry. I enjoy watching them.
Please like me. Please.
Hey, you know what? At least he's trying to get over.
Like me. Like me right here.
He's
in
trying.
Boston.
Yeah. Dude had more cheap pop than Mick Foley.
Yes, yes he did.
But
come on, Big E, can you suck any harder?
But here's the thing though. Big E will have a good future in the company. Like, no bullshit. He will have a good future in that company. He's got a good look. He can wrestle well for his size. He's gonna have a good future with this company.
Exactly. I think, Lindsay, it needed a little bit more booby touching on Big for people touching Big E's boobs.
I think Curtis got enough feels in, personally.
Okay. By the way, if you don't know what I mean, go look at the JB on Call show from this past week. Bears.
No, WrestlingWithTex.com. It's quite funny because every week, you know, every time Curtis Axel comes out, he rips his nipples off. Can't wait to see what they do with the gifts in this one.
So yes, Big E.
No, Lindsay, no reference like that. I'm not like that. I'm not going to steal the great man's lines.
Oh.
Plus, the only people I could do it to are Omega and Rock, and that's not for any fun.
Oh, come on. You've been wanting to punch one of them in the junk for years.
No. That's Alan.
What's an Alan?
It's a Wojewiczki.
Never heard of him.
It's that dickhead was on Tuesday night that never let me talk during interviews. Bastard.
Again, I don't have any recollection of this at all.
No, don't worry about it. You know, Alan is a rare species that went extinct months ago.
Alright. Then AJ Lee cut a promo. She wanted the other divas to use her as an inspiration.
This is where I started paying attention again.
And the other girls really weren't too kind with what she had to say. And Caitlin stepped up and told, you ruined my life. And then AJ sort of twisted it all around and said, The other girls, they're the enemies. We're supposed to be a team. It's the other girls who won't let you on
Caitlin needs to learn how to shut the fuck up.
It's the other girls
who won't. She can't tell the promo worth fucking shit. She's a pair of tits, that's it. AJ needs to cut all the promos. Yeah, I know I'm stealing from Omega. But at least AJ needs to cut more promos. Because AJ actually does a good job on promos.
At least you credited him with the line.
I may be drunk, but I'm not an asshole.
So you're not Spug?
Spug's a good guy. Despite all his faults and the bullshit we put up with for years, he's a good guy.
He is.
He's my friend. He's my friend, and I'm sorry that I bitched him out last time I talked to him.
So we get to our elimination match. Natty, Bella...
This is when I stopped paying attention again.
Natty, the Bella Twins, the Fungadactyls, JoJo.
Seriously, it's like, oh, AJ, Mike, listening. Match starting, Total Divas theme, gone.
I couldn't even remember who was in this match.
And maybe I'll get...
Everyone with tits except Big E.
I believe at one point, I think it was... the JoJo, the stupid one who never gets any attention.
Hashtag where's JoJo.
She was getting beat up by Tamina, and I'm like, who the fuck's in this match still? Because I couldn't remember who. It's like so many eliminations so quickly, and it just stupid.
As I was saying, it was Natalya, the Bella Twins, Funkadactyl, JoJo. And Eva Marie against AJ, Tamina Snuka, Caitlin, Rosa Mendez, Summer Rae, Oksana, and Alicia Fox. Naomi eliminates Alicia Fox first, then Rosa Mendez took care of Cameron. Nikki got rid of Rosa Mendez, and then we got a dance-off between Nikki and Summer Rae, which featured Nikki doing the worm.
Who the fuck does Summer Rae think she is? Fucking the Blue Me? You don't stop a match in the middle for a fucking dance-off. You're a wrestler, bitch. I know you can wrestle. I've seen you on NXT. So wrestle. Not fucking dance. Instead of sucking Fandango's cock. Wrestle. No wonder you got eliminated while doing the splits. You're a fucking idiot. I'm sorry, Rob.
Nikki Bella eliminated Summer Rae. Caitlin,
I'm ruining this. Joe, I should go.
You're not ruining anything.
Not ruining anything.
Maybe the English language, but not any show.
Hey, I speak the English very well.
English.
My grammar is shit, but I can speak English still.
Caitlin took care of Eva Marie, thank God it was really, really quick.
Hey, fuck!
Caitlyn then took care of Naomi. Brie eliminated Caitlyn. Then Oksana apparently got a pinfall on Brie Bella. Surprising. Nikki then took care of Oksana. Then we were left with Nikki looking for someone to tag. And, well, as Mace already pointed out, it was JoJo. And then it was JoJo versus Tamina. And it looked for a second that JoJo was actually going to pin Tamina, but that was not the case. Instead, she got taken out by Tamina, and then AJ eliminated JoJo.
Can I just, like, stop it right here?
Yes.
I want to see more of JoJo. Because for the 5 seconds she was in the ring tonight, she looked way better than Eva Marie ever has. Like, I actually am curious to see JoJo try and work a full match now based on what she did tonight. Because if nothing
Thank
else,
you.
She can sell. She did a really nice job selling tonight, and she was pulling some moves that I haven't seen too many rookies do. So somebody's been doing a good job down in NXT.
So much better than fucking Eva Marie.
She's... Go ahead.
She's, like, better than half the vets.
She has the potential.
Oh, but she's better out of the rookies.
She has the potential to be a great underdog.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But, yeah, I want to see more of JoJo, both on Total Divas and in the ring, because I'm curious to see what she can do now.
Hashtag, where's JoJo?
Hashtag, where's JoJo?
So, we then had Natty actually get involved in this matchup, finally. And was able to take out Tamina Snuka, making her tap out. Kind of seemed weird. It didn't look like she tapped, but she tapped, I guess. Something along those lines.
I don't know if she ever did or not. Like, if she did, they never acknowledged it.
I think they weren't sure. It was a little bit of...
It was one of those 50-50. I think Tamina was tapping at the same time AJ came in with the double axe handle to the head. So it's sort of like she tapped just before AJ got in.
Right.
But then again, I can't fucking remember shit.
We're going to go with that logic because that seems like the best logic that was possible for that outcome.
Wow.
No, because that's sort of what I remember. We then brought it was down. AJ was left alone with Natty and Nikki Bella. Well, Natty was able to make AJ tap out after Nikki kicked AJ in the head with a drop kick, and AJ tapped out. So Natty got the win.
Go, Natty!
Thoughts, Omega?
It still pains me to see how much they're pushing Total Divas. On the other hand, any time Natalya actually gets some kind of attention, and some kind of credibility, and, you know, actually what she freaking deserves in that company, that's all good.
It is all good at that point. So, at this point, we are going to take our first break of the evening, because when we come back, there's a lot more pay-per-view to get into, including someone who is looking to make a challenge, and we get some Wyatts.
I'm ranting on the challenge. I'm just warning you now.
You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday Night Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We will be back right after this quick timeout, our only break of the evening. Just hang around. We'll be right back. Shot to show the whole world, so yeah, let's give them a show. Now back on top, to top, to top, top, there ain't no stopping me, no.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After seven long
years. Finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To a shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
About time this fucker called in. Hi, Mace.
Hey, I was on another phone call. Fuck you.
Oh, hey, fuck you.
And fuck you, and fuck you, Hummel. Let's count them up. It's Rocks, one. Fuck you, Will. That's two. Fuck you. Tim, fuck you. Omega, fuck you. Lindsay, fuck you. Subway, fuck you.
Hey, Meg.
Really fucked. Can I now have a kitten?
I was just going to offer everybody a cigarette, but whatever.
At least Mace remembers me when he runs down a list.
Yeah, fuck off. Fuck you.
I can barely remember yesterday, Tim.
Oh, fuck, can you guys call me?
Oh, God,
me?
Are you getting Tim's dino?
Yeah, I'm going to hit you, Will, but not before Mace does.
It's basically descended into, like, a circular roast.
Yeah, it's just another jerk-off podcast. Ask Mace.
Like, all of a sudden it popped up, and here's the whole gang, and I didn't have time to even pull up my pants while I was holding my dick.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I have been sent by TJ Omega, as he is, one told me that my name and multiple orgasms should not be mentioned in the same sentence again, even though I was going to offer to have one to try to get the ratings up. Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
I'm Santino Marella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the time!
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
PWManiaMemory.com.
I can't feel my hands on my feet.
Oh no, that's not good.
I think I might add a little bit too much.
Can you start drinking water?
But that involves me having to go out to the kitchen, and as I've realized, me walking is not a good thing.
Hmm.
Is your little
during the there? Break, I fell face first into my bed and I didn't want to move.
So we got cheap pops for the panel at the event, and then out came the Ryback, who issued an open challenge to anyone to fight him, and the person who accepted was Mark Henry.
Okay, wait, no. Before we get to the match, I want to rant on this.
Okay.
Whoever in WWE.
Wait. Before you rant, I wanna quickly say something because it's silly.
Okay.
Oh my god, Booker T face. And I know Omega will be the only one to get this, but Bret Hart looked like Sephiroth. I'm sorry, Lindsay.
Really out of shape, right, Sephiroth, now. Maybe.
Totally. Sorry, Lindsay. I stepped all over your rant.
No, you're fine. You're totally fine.
I'm drunk.
I know. It's okay.
Okay.
No, my only rant is, why do they keep giving Ryback a microphone? Why? What, you know, who thinks this is okay? Whoever it is, just stop. Please, stop letting Ryback talk. Stop letting him wrestle. Just get him off TV now. Like, the dude has had more chances than Lita at Hookers Anonymous. Okay?
Wow. But Vince McMahon likes him, so they keep giving him a microphone and letting him wrestle.
But he's not good at it!
No shit!
Like, he can't talk, he can't really wrestle, anytime they give him a push, they squash him. It's like, what's the point of him? He's not a credible threat, he's not scary, nobody likes him, nobody cares about him. Like, he's out there talking about how he's a bully, how he's not a bully. Guess what, dude? People have to care about you to be a bully. And guess what? Nobody cares. It's like, seriously, just get your butt in the ring so you can get your butt kicked by somebody because it's a pay-per-view, so we all know you're gonna lose. Because that's what happens to Ryback on pay-per-view. He just loses. Like, I mean, what is the point of him anymore? Seriously, what is the point of him?
He's big, he's stupid, and he can sort of wrestle. That's the point. It's like Goldberg in WCW. It's like Diesel in the WWE. You know, he's big, he's stupid, and he can pull off a few moves. Vince loves him.
Well, not so much at the moment. So, Omega.
Uh-huh.
It's Ryback and Mark Henry in a WrestleMania rematch. Doesn't that excite you?
I'd rather see a rematch of Brawl for All. That was a terrible match. Why? Why on earth would we do it again?
So the bald Mark Henry could do a crossbody? Kind of.
I don't care.
Haygate returns!
Was that the first time you've seen him without the hair maze?
Yes.
Okay.
And he looks like Isaac Hayes.
A little bit. They also keep mentioning Rick Ross for who he looks like.
That's because they want somebody relevant. Because nobody
not dead.
Remembers who Isaac Hayes is. Isaac Hayes was chef on South Park.
He was the chef on South Park. He was a singer before that. He's enacted in a few movies. He was a Scientologist, and yeah, he couldn't take a joke, even though he was on South Park.
The final episode was hilarious. They used sound clips.
They used sound clips, and they worked it into the actual storyline, which is hysterical.
We should do that for a WTR. Just use all sound clips from past shows to do a show. Sure, it'd make Rock go crazy, but it'll be funny.
Is that how we spliced him in?
Totally. It could be our Christmas special.
No, clip in all the interviews, too. They have Jericho, RVD, Shawn Michaels and on the show at the same time.
By all means, if you guys would like to put that together, by all means, go for it.
I'm going to be producing 40 videos next month. Fuck that.
And I've already done a Christmas special. It's your turn, Rock.
No, I've done a Christmas special, too.
Lindsay's turn.
I don't know how to do it.
Rock will teach you.
And anyway, getting back on track, Mark Henry won. Our next contest of the evening is the World Heavyweight Championship. John Cena and Alberto Del Rio.
Guess who won?
Wait. What's his name? Superman?
He's not Superman, okay? He's John Cena, a mild-mannered wrestler.
What do you think?
I know why they had this match, but I'm still going to ask, why did they have this match?
Because it needed to fill a pay-per-view spot, and it could be worse. It could have been another John Cena Ryback match.
I would have preferred John Cena Ryback than fucking Del Rio.
Well,
Del Rio has 40,000 chances at the belt. Seriously, do you not have any other heels on the fucking card that can go up against Superman?
Not really, no. They're completely tapped right now.
Well, that's their fault. Because they're fucking morons.
I did like how when John Cena won his match, he celebrated with the guys holding up the signs that said Cena sucks. I thought that was clever.
I've seen him do that before.
I know, but still, it's one of those things where at least he's playing it up.
The credibility I can give Cena is he's perfectly aware of where he sits in his own little fandom.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
You know, God bless the guy. He fights through all the shit we give him.
He does.
Yeah.
You know, I'd get sick of that shit. I'd go to Vince and demand to be a heel just to get the fucking thing over with, so.
And you know, the moment he would go heel, they would start to cheer, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course they would.
Just to spite it all.
You know, but that's the thing. You know, you see anti-Cena, you see the, you know, Cena hater shirts because, you know, he is stale. You know, it is time. You know, it's way over time to do something different with him. WWE just doesn't have the balls to do anything like that anymore. But you know what? I have to give credit to the guy. I mean, he toes the company line no matter what shit we give him, and I don't know anyone else who would put up with this for so long.
I don't know how he does it.
He has very tough skin. This is the best way to put it.
Clearly.
So John Cena retained the World Heavyweight Championship tonight. And then we go backstage. We have a toy commercial featuring the likes of Santino and R-Truth, and they're battling in the Money in the Bank set. Who's going to win with the Power Slammers, I believe they're called. Then you had the album, the Matadors show up. And then you had Fandango show up. And then Big Johnny? People Power Omega? People Power?
You know what? I was actually smiling when he popped up. I don't know why.
Well, you were drunk, that's why.
True.
I admit, I completely missed this segment. I walked out at this point.
Yeah, Big Johnny showed up.
This is the point where I would start drinking. Thank God.
People Power returns. And then,
I don't know who I feel worse for, Johnny or the Matadors. It seems like the Matadors have just like fallen completely out of favor. I haven't seen them in weeks.
I don't think it's that they fell out of favor. I think it's just, hey, this was kind of a goofy idea. Let's send them against 3MB for, what, 3 or 4 weeks in a row?
Six.
Say, oh God.
Felt like six.
I was hoping four was an exaggeration.
Feels like six. Might have been.
No, that's pretty close.
I think they did every combination on Raw and SmackDown.
It's one of those gimmicks WWE does as a goofball idea, you know, like Tons of Funk or something like that. And it's fun at first, and it gets a laugh, and it's weird. It adds variety to the show, but you know, eventually the joke, you know, loses its punchline, and then they don't know what to do with them.
Right, and they're a good house show tag team because the kids will love the bull.
Now, they're a good show tag team because JBL loves the bowl.
This is true. Now it is time for our semi-main event of the evening. In one corner, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, the GOAT, taking on the Sheep, Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, the Wyatt family. The quote from Bray Wyatt before the match: "We are the Reapers, and there's nowhere left to run."
That was a great promo.
Before I go to Lindsay, Omega.
I was still out.
The match.
I pretty much get what I want out of this match. I mean, I expect great things. Hang on a second. Give me a minute here.
Okay, Lindsay. Feel like Saturday night all over again. One being put on hold and can't understand.
I'm sorry, something came up.
That's what Subway says every week.
Yes, but I'm back now.
Okay, we'll continue.
And continue your thoughts.
Now, I got what I wanted out of this match. I mean, I expect great things from CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. I expect the internet wrestling community to wet its collective panties over this tag team. Mm-hmm. I know, but, you know, Rowan and Harper are still just the kind of where, well, I so dig the Wyatts psychologically. I so don't dig the Wyatts in the ring. They're very big, brute, brawler styles, and they're good at big, brawler, brute styles. I'm not a fan of big, brawler, brute style. Yeah, it's the kind of thing that's it gets a little bit hard to mesh it with Punk and Bryan's more fast paced, high flying style. But you know, at the same time, it's Punk and Bryan. They will make anything look good.
Lindsay,
I waited all night for this match. I waited all week for this match. This was a great match. I liked the match between Punk and Bryan and the Wyatts. I think they really did a nice job, as far as Punk and Bryan are concerned, of making the Wyatts look good. They had a very physical, very good contest. And one thing I kind of liked is we got to see a little bit more of Harper and Rowan's personalities, which is something we haven't gotten to see before now. We got to see more of Bray Wyatt's crazy personality as well. But it's like Rowan at one point was talking to the Sheep Mask.
I was just going to go there, yeah.
In this match. Like, he was talking to the Mask. And it's just like, wait. See, what? And it's
if
like...
If there
I
is
just...
one thing the Wyatts do well, it's creepy.
Yeah, they do. And can we just, like, appreciate also Eric Rowan's ability to just manhandle people? I mean, that double suplex on Punk and Bryan, good God. And then he just picks Punk up and throws him like he's a football.
Yeah, he can overpower.
He looked good tonight, and I mean, this was match of the night. This was a great match all the way around. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I was a little upset that the Wyatts lost, but I got a little distracted by something that happened on the app.
Wait. Something happened on the app?
Yeah, we plugged it at the beginning of the show.
Oh, right. Lindsay was on the app.
Who was drinking again?
That was called Shield for the People Just Tuning In.
Yeah. Artwork posted on the app. Yay! But yeah, this
again?
Again! Yeah, but What?
Hey, drink it all in, Lindsay.
No, I love it. I'm proud as hell of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. We were all extremely happy that it happened. Finally. And on a pay-per-view, no less.
Well, the first one got sent out on Main Event. So, yeah, it's like when it went out on...
Main Event doesn't mean shit. Pay-per-view.
Wow. Anyway.
It's still the fact that her artwork was picked out from so many twice in such a short time span. I mean, it is really amazing.
I know. Thank you.
And very well deserved.
Thank you. I try. I spam the hell out of them, so.
Yes. Yes, she does.
but not to rehash on what I was saying before, but this type of match explains exactly why a lot of these guys should be getting higher praise than they should. You know, these guys are the next generation of the WWE, and they need more focus. You know, the Wyatts, whether they stay together or they go individual, these guys are the next generation. You know, these are the guys I want to see more on television.
Oh, I agree. I think facing Punk and Bryan did a lot for them, and it being as high as they were on the card, I think that did a lot for them as well. And what's going to be good is since the Wyatts lost, hey, they're going to have two pay-per-view matches potentially with somebody in a row. Because that hasn't happened yet. So they're going to have an actual, oh my god, feud. As opposed to, you know, just moving on.
Hey, I'm all for it. You know, we got the tease tonight of at least what I think will be Bray versus Bryan next month. You know, because while it was Punk and Bryan in the ring at the end of the match, you notice it was Bryan the one who took the front line, if you will, against Bray. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing what those two can pull off in a one-on-one matchup, or even if we get, you know, a 3-on-2 matchup or something. I'm looking forward to seeing what these guys can do.
Right.
It'll be very interesting.
I completely agree.
It'll be very interesting to see what they do, rather. CM Punk and Daniel Bryan picked up the victory in this contest. As Mace mentioned, there was a tease between Bryan and Punk and Bray Wyatt. It looked like Bray Wyatt was ready to go, but no. Bray thought better of it, though he did punch the crap out of the side when they lost to Lindsay.
He did, yeah. He wasn't happy.
Bray was not a happy, happy man.
That poor ring mat gets so much abuse.
Speaking... go ahead.
Well, it just kind of opens things up for tomorrow night, where will Bray Wyatt have to knock his boys' heads together, because, well, they lost.
They did.
So they're looking for revenge, and, well, is Bray Wyatt going to take his anger out on Rowan and Harper, or is he going to take it out on Punk and Bryan? We'll have to see.
I hope it's Punk and Bryan, because it's too early to look into a knocking heads situation.
More,
you know, focus your angle on your opponents rather than internally.
It really
kind of depends on the situation. When you're dealing with, you know, whatever relationship the Wyatt family has with each other, I think, you know, butting heads between them does not mean they're going to split up. Butting heads between them means you fucked up, time to do better, or this gets worse. They're not going anywhere.
Right, get them in line, rather. That's a better way to put it. Get them in line. Shape them up.
Yeah. Basically, Bray Wyatt refocuses them because they could be losing their focus, and so because he's the leader, he has to zero them in on what he wants them to do, and so it could be that, well, they got a little distracted, and now he has to smack them on the back of the head and make them start winning again. Because he actually, I think, if I remember right, for NXT, I haven't seen the match, but supposedly he made them actually fight each other once, which if anybody can find that match, I'd actually really like to see it. So, yeah, I would be curious to see if he does that with him or if he focuses all his anger on Punk and Bryan.
We got our first tease in the authorities office of Cena and Randy Orton. keyword first. But then we got to our main event, Randy Orton and the Big Show Omega. There were very loud, boring chants.
Yeah, there were. It's not a new match. We've seen it plenty of times. There really wasn't anything new or shocking here. I mean, I do like how long they've been playing up how desperate Orton is to not go in alone against a match like this. Because it, on one hand, it does improve his odds against the Big Show, or just makes you think, well, maybe Big Show's got him a little bit more than we're assuming. But at the same time, it's hard, because I begrudgingly enjoy that, and then I begrudgingly don't like it because of the way they've been going about that championship. You know, because we just got done with the whole vacancy. We got done with Orton couldn't get the job done, still can't get the job done, and now needs interference in order to help get the job done.
Sorta.
Shawn Michaels super kick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, last time. I meant that you meant this time. Sorry.
There's one thing to make him look like he's a very heelish champion. I get that. You know, a heel worms his way into the championship. A heel takes any little advantage or opportunity that's available to him in order to actually keep a hold of that belt. And that's the whole point. But when you just got done with this whole angle where the title's vacated, Orton lost it on his first defense and constantly needs help just to either keep getting rematches or get the belt back in the first place, it just continues to make him look really, really weak as a champion. I mean, it's one thing to make a heel champion that has to worm his way into title defenses all the time. That's well and good. But you have to convince me that he can, you have to convince me that he's good enough and capable enough to actually defend that belt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is one part where I really don't like how lenient championship matches have gotten. Because there's some matches where they don't call it as, and the announcers will cover it up because they will call matches that are not, they're not going to be no holds barred or no disqualification or anything like that. But at the same time, the ref doesn't, if the ref gets extraordinarily lenient on the rules. You know, they're beating up each other on the outside. I've seen weapons introduced in a normal one-fall match, and the ref's not calling it. And they go, well, this is because it's the championship's on the line, the ref's not going to let it end that way, yada, yada, yada. They try to defend it. But at the same time, it takes away so many of the heel tactics that should be employed. It takes away the cheating behind the ref's back. It takes away the sneaky weapon shots. The sneaky low blows. I kind of miss when a heel could be like a Ric Flair style heel, where anytime the ref's not paying attention, he's doing something to get the upper hand, and that's just as viable as a heel tactic as always needing help. Because always needing help looks weak. Always looking for a sneaky advantage or cheap shot makes a heel look smart.
Right.
Where's the eye gouge? Where's the low blow? Where's the feet on the ropes? Where's the true heel tactics? You know, just to accentuate Omega's point. You know, there are so many tactics a heel can use in the ring to gain advantage that are sneaky, that you use behind the referee's back, but none of them are used in this day and age. You know, it's one of those things of, you know, when the crowd was sitting there chanting boring, I was right there with them. You know, we've seen this match before. Nobody wanted to see the Big Show in the ring in a title contention match, but why wasn't Randy being a heel? You know, again, where's the eye gouge? Where's the low blow? Where's the roll up with the feet on the ropes? You know, there's an entire ring to play in. Why not use it to your advantage? Sorry, Omega, for stepping on your point.
Oh, no. No, thank you for accentuating it, you know. Because it means I'm right.
And it means I'm starting to get sober.
Okay, so, you know, for me it is what it is. It's another match between Orton and Big Show. There's nothing special, nothing makes it better or worse than the previous matches. I just really miss the sneaky heels. Especially when Orton really should be one.
But here's the problem. You're expecting Randy Orton to have more of a personality than a turnip.
You don't need a personality to be smart. I mean, think of Wojcik.
I don't even know where to go with that.
Oh, I know exactly what he means.
No, it's... You expect Randy Orton to do anything more than what he's doing. And the fact of the matter is, he's not going to. Like, I think Randy either... He's just kind of sort of... They're having him go back and do the psycho legacy legend killer gimmick that he did a couple years ago, which is the most successful thing he's ever done. Because it's the gimmick where he showed the most personality and the most ability. But the problem is like, even showing the most ability he has really isn't showing a lot.
Yeah, but at the same time...
Because it feels like he's just...
At the same time, though, you gotta remember, they're taking it back to the Randy Orton that used to be with Evolution. This was the Randy Orton that was mentored by Ric Flair, one of the dirtiest players in the game, to infringe on a trademark. You know...
Oh, I know.
We know Randy Orton is smarter than this. You know, he's had that much knowledge. You know, he's had Triple H and Ric Flair behind him teaching him the game. Yet, he has become so robotic and so lifeless.
I think he's just...
It's hard. Yeah, pretty much. You know, I believe it was Mick Foley who put it pretty perfectly tonight, that Randy Orton is acting like a spoiled child who believes he deserves everything he's been given, without actually having to work for it. Whereas the fans are seeing it the opposite. They want to see Randy Orton as the heel. They want to see him as a true heel, somebody who cheats, somebody who takes advantage. But because he doesn't do it, that's not resonating well with the fans. And that leads to what we got tonight, which was a bunch of boring chants.
Part of it is how he is marketed. Oh, right, because, okay, what is his moniker?
I believe it's the Viper at this point.
It's either the Viper or it's the Apex Predator.
Viper.
Well, here's the problem with your Apex Predator. Because it goes back and forth. I get sick of the two. The problem you have here is, you know, the Apex Predator is the T-Rex, right? You know, it's the biggest hunter on the planet. It is something that no one else fucks with because no one else can kill the goddamn thing. Okay, now if a T-Rex wants to take down another dinosaur for its meal, it doesn't need three smaller T-Rexes coming in and beating it down first. You know, if you're going to call him the Apex, or even a Viper, because Vipers don't hunt in packs. You know, you're telling me he is this thing. You're telling me he is this way. You're not showing it to me, though. You know, eventually it just becomes words and marketing. You know, prove to me he's worth any of these names.
So the match ended with a punt right to the head, but before the punt happened, the Authority showed up, including Kane in a suit without glasses.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
That was scary.
By the way, Ken Kittens, I've got your first line for this recap. It's called "The WTR Crew Goes Full Emotional."
Hashtag emotion. they showed up, but they did not physically interfere in the contest, which was the key word at the beginning of the night. So Randy Orton is still your WWE champion. And then out of nowhere, out came John Cena, and you wondered, what? Why is he out here? Why is John Cena actually out here? Because that's the question I had when I saw him walk to the ring. And then they stare down champion and champion to close the show. Leads the question, Rumble Mania next month?
Jeez, it's already time for the Rumble.
It's Thanksgiving in 4 days. Getting close.
Well,
I've lost all track of time in the last week.
Yeah, I know. The snail. Poor snail. Still dead. Damn snail.
Silly. You know, it's bad. It's bad enough. It's bad enough that the snail dies. But you have to think, when a snail gets stepped on, there's a split second where he also just lost his home just before he died. That is tragic.
That's so cruel and tragic, yeah.
So it's... No.
Not only am I...
The poor snail!
You are going to die and be homeless at the same time.
Well, I'll ask this question to kind of sort of change the subject and get off of Speedy. We have the Authority supposedly doubting Randy Orton as the face of the WWE. John Cena seems to be elbowing his way back into the WWE title picture. So, could the Authority back Cena over Orton? Could we actually see a John Cena heel turn? Especially since you've established Daniel Bryan in sort of that number one face position?
I think it's more of a tease than anything else. Like, it's that usual, you know, will he, won't he type deal where you're going to tune in to see what happens.
Right.
But in the end, you're still going to get the same John Cena face that is going to lead into, as I said in our production chat, you know, either Rumble or Mania, we're going to see the two champions face off, possibly. You know, maybe in a unification type deal, finally. But I don't think we're going to see Cena turn heel. You know, there's not enough... Like, as much as there's a lot of probably attention that would be paid if Cena turns heel, you know, and I'll equate it to Hogan turning heel back in 1996. But at the same time, there's a lot of money to be lost if Cena turns heel. So it probably makes more money to be Orton versus Cena in the unification match, which looks like the possibility at this point in time. As to who the Authority backs, could be a swerve. Could see them backing Cena and then at the last minute back Orton.
See what happens on Monday Night Raw?
Exactly.
That's what they're good at. Here's the hook for Monday Night Raw. So that's Survivor Series in a nutshell. Time to go over pick 'em really, really quick. The results of it. I was 7-0. Mace was 6-1. Lindsay was 6-1. Omega was 5-2. As far as chatters go, Vincent was 7-0. King Kins was 6-1. Tommy was 6-1. Sean Palmer was 6-1. Amy was 5-2, Ace was 4-3, so was Rob, and Chris was 4-3, Ben Bell was 4-3, Subway was 3-4, Josh was 2-1, Michael was 3-4, and the WWE 2K14 simulation that has appeared on WTR Games Garage every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern was 2-0.
Who was 7-0 again?
I was, and so was Vincent.
You were?
Yes.
Well, congratulations. You proved how predictable this shit can be.
Okay, did anyone make under 50%?
Yes, yes, we had people under 50%.
But barely.
We had 2 3-4s.
I mean, but still, that's a lot of high scores in the pick 'em this time. I mean, that really shows just how very, very predictable this is.
It was very, very predictable.
Yeah, and I would have gone 6-1 too if I changed one.
Coulda, woulda,
but this is a lot like Survivor Series earlier this year. We could tell where a lot of the main events were going. You know, your big titles, your world title, your WWE title. We knew exactly where they were going.
Right.
And that's a shame.
Right.
Because we shouldn't be able to predict this shit, you know, 4 weeks out.
And I will say this, the ones that did have some fluctuation were mainly the Survivor Series matches. A couple different on the Wyatts and Brian Punk, but, it, you know, out of them, everyone else seemed to go in one similar direction.
David, Frank, surprising. Get your voice on the same page.
That's quite surprising, because I thought that the Wyatts and CM Punk Brian match would have been the most polarizing of the two. That was the one where you sort of didn't quite know whether you were going to push the Wyatts or whether you were going to give it to the former champs.
Right. Yeah, that was that one led more Brian and Punk than the Wyatts. So there you have it. That's WTR Pick'em. We'll be back again for more Pick'em. And if you want to hear Subway make his picks again, tune in Saturday night at midnight-ish.
Are you going to try and trick him into it?
Oh, we already told him we're going to make sure he picks his picks again. So let's see if he remembers. This six-year show. CB Radio Sub's going to pick again. So, with that out of the way, it is now time for the Great Debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate.
Oh my God, wait a minute! It's Paul Bear! It's Paul Bear! And that's gotta be Kane! That's gotta be Kane!
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking The Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
In this week's Great Debate, up first, Eric Bischoff's WWE debut against the debut of Christian Cage in TNA. Mace, you're up first.
Bischoff, hands down. Seriously, after the Monday Night Wars and everything that had happened, having Bischoff come out and embracing Vince was a moment you would never have thought in a million years you would have seen on television. That was seriously the end of the Monday Night Wars and an admission that Vince had one. You cannot top that type of moment where it was, as much as it was scripted, it was still very real to everybody that lived through the Monday Night Wars.
It was still real to you, damn it.
Damn right!
So one for Eazy-E, Lindsay.
I'm going to agree. Bischoff was just one of those big moments that you can't forget just because it's... You never thought it would happen. It's like there's Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff embracing each other and pretending like they're trying to like each other on live television on Monday Night Raw after everything that happened in the Monday Night Wars. So it's like, yeah, you know, even though you know Bischoff's there to be pretty much humiliated by Vince for everything that happened, it's like there's Eric Bischoff on Monday Night Raw embracing Vince McMahon. It's just, it's something that you never, ever, ever thought you would see. So, yeah, I gotta go with Eazy-E on this one.
Omega, are you gonna stick up for Christian at all?
To a point. Because it is a good debut. I really like his TNA debut because it was one that you really hadn't seen since the Monday Night Wars, where he was on TV very recently. Because, you know, he was not released. His contract completely expired, so he could do whatever the fuck he wanted.
He was on SmackDown on that Friday, pay-per-view that Sunday.
You never saw that. You have not seen that in so long. You know... And that made it really cool. And being a Christian fan for so long, it was nice to see a company actually credit him in a far more deserving way. And, you know, he jumped straight in with AJ Styles, right?
No, he was with Team Canada. I don't remember who he turned on. I can't remember off the
top of my head.
He did something with Team Canada. That was the whole gimmick that night.
Okay, all right.
He was teasing to join Team Canada.
Okay, now I remember. Okay, this has been a long time.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was just like this one big sudden debut, and it was still really cool. But yeah, you can't really beat history. You know, anytime you see two rivals come together, especially, you know, the Monday Night Wars being that heated. Being that personal, everyone's already said it. You never expected to see that, and be watching it happen live was just one of the more surreal moments in wrestling. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't pick against that.
So, Eric Bischoff moves on. Up next, the debut of The Shield versus The Brood. Lindsay?
I'm going to give it to The Shield. Just because it was kind of one of those WTF moments and based what they've gone on to do since then. Yeah, I'm going to give it to The Shield.
Omega?
I'm trying to remember how the Brood's debut exactly went. Jeez, I hate to give it to The Shield because that's the one I actually do remember.
But that's what you're going to do anyhow.
Lindsay is right. I mean, they kind of stormed onto the scene and completely... dominated ever since. You know, it wasn't a matter of, well, this guy's bringing in his buddies, this guy is gonna make a group out of this, and it wasn't even like, you know, the Brood was Gangrel and friends, no matter what combination, Hardys, Edge and Christian, whichever two it was. You know, the Shield was the Shield. The Shield was a unit. You know, and the Shield was Just this right amount of chaos and what are they up to that really made watching them interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mace.
That'd be right. Give it to the guy who's, like, coming down from being drunk. Good on you.
You're the only one left.
Yeah, pretty much. So here's the thing. I remember a lot of the whole Brood thing. Like, it started out with Edge being the lone wolf going on it on his own and pulling... You know, he'd come out of the crowd and everything. It was the whole lone wolf deal. Then all of a sudden, his brother started popping up. And eventually got revealed that he was under control of Gangrel. And to protect his brother, Edge joined the Brood. And that's how they became a unit. The Shield, on the other hand, just sort of appeared. You know, they just appeared one day and started dominating. So I'm going to be the minority here and go for the Brood, as it was a long-term story setup, as opposed to, here they are, we're going to start kicking the shit out of everybody.
Well, despite your passionate defense of the Brood, the Shield moves on. Sadly. Next week on The Great Debate here on WTR is the debut of the NWO against Raven's TNA debut, against Hulk Hogan's TNA debut, against the debut of Ric Flair in WCW. That should make for some interesting debates next week on the show. Now then, it's time for our favorite part of the show, Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
We will start with Mace. Mace, what are three things you would put in your fanny pack?
You have no idea how rude of a term that is in Australian terms, do you?
Yeah, I know, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I just thought I'd point that out beforehand.
Is it a bad word down there?
Yeah, because in Australian terminology, the fanny refers to the woman's vagina.
Ah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So the whole term of fanny pack takes on a whole new meaning down here.
Got it.
But you don't have...
Yeah.
Half of Australia.
But the more you know.
But
well, okay. Before I get to the answer, I'll tell you this quick story. My mother used to be the manager of a lot of bowling leagues and stuff like that down here in Australia. And one year she got put in charge of the World Firemen's Invitational, which was... firemen from all over the world would compete in a bowling tournament. And one of them, during the, I believe it was the, after the first night of the tournament, came up to her and said, "I'd love to pat you on the fanny." Of course, in American terms, that means I want to pat you on the bum. In Australian terms, it means something completely different and more vulgar. So my mother ended up slapping him. So that's how I quickly learnt the difference between the American version and the Australian version.
Gotcha.
But as to what I would put into what we refer to as a bum bag, which again takes a whole new meaning in American terms.
Oh, good lord. Alright.
Yeah, I know. Cultural differences, huh?
All right, so
welcome to the linguistics section of WTR Sunday Night.
All right, and just for
the record,
we're not asking Mace what three things he's going to stick in his ass. Now, continue.
No, no, we're going to ask him what three things he's going to stick in his fanny.
I didn't know
it
had one of those.
Oh, wow. Oh, this has been a fun night. It really has. I'd have to go with coin. I'm not a big fan of carrying change with me, so if I had one of those bags, that would probably be where I put the coin.
So you put the coin in to start it. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I know. The fucking visuals people are getting right now, it's hilarious.
Continue.
Oh, I gotta think of two other things.
Coin in the
probably put a map depending on where I'm going.
Right.
As for the third thing, probably some mints. Whenever I travel, I prefer to have some mints on me. I don't know why. It sort of helps with the keeping my stomach settled. So there you go, that just ruined all your fucking nights for the rest of the month.
Okay.
Coins, map, and mints.
Yeah, there you go. Coin to start it, map to find it, and a mint for after. Lindsay, if you had a vegetable-themed nickname, what would it be?
Really? We're continuing with the vegetables?
Yes, we are continuing with the vegetables.
Well, you know what? Since I've already established it, tater tot.
Why?
Because I'm DJ Tater Tot, yo.
There you go. Omega, what's your favorite leg, your left or your right?
Not my right one, my left can go to hell. It's an asshole, just does whatever the hell it wants.
So your right leg is your favorite leg?
As far as I'm concerned, it's my only leg. The other one's dead to me.
Was the left one that killed the snail? Sorry.
I need bourbon.
Mace, if you were an element on the periodic table, what would you be, why?
Oh, shit. I failed science. So I have no fucking clue about the periodic table.
Google it?
Oh, good lord. You're expecting me to do this while I'm coming down from being drunk. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can you come back to me? I need a moment.
What's alcohol on the periodic table?
Google it.
I'm working on it. That's why I need a moment.
All right, I'll let you. We'll come back to you here in a second. Lindsay.
If
Bray Wyatt were a sex position, what sex position would he be and why?
The entire damn Karma Sutra, because the dude be crazy.
No, you gotta pick one.
You're gonna have to come back to me. I have to Google this.
Alright, Mace, you're up.
We'll go with number 79, AU, which is otherwise known as Gold. Because after tonight, most of the shit I've said has been comedy gold, and I'm still very flexible as to what's going to happen next, especially under extreme pressure and heat.
Well, there you go, Lindsay. Have you figured it out yet?
Not yet.
Well,
don't play sound.
Hey, the Karma Sutra takes a little bit more studying than the periodic table.
Yes, but I want to close with Omega, so Or waiting a
little. Well, I've got the Kama Sutra memorized. I'll be quick.
Being quick is not a good thing.
Okay, fine. The Amazon position, and I will let you guys Google that because I'm not reading that on the air.
Well, there you go. And finally, to Omega. What would the title of a fan fiction story be featuring Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio?
I have to Google this.
Take your time.
Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio?
In fan fiction.
In fan fiction.
In fan fiction, yes.
God. In fan fiction, it is the Viper goes south of his border.
There you go. Well done, Omega. Well done. I'm impressed.
I try not to disappoint.
I know. It's a good thing. So anyway, that does it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Alright, here's the deal. About 15 minutes before Monday Night Raw post show, which is at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, so that's like 11:15, so right after Monday Night Raw, come right here to the network. It might be awesome. Just saying. Then, stay tuned for the Raw post show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Rack Extra will be available on Tuesday for what's awesome on Monday, if it happens. There is no Rack on Thursday, so I can't have Lindsay plug it, but the Rack Extra Total Divas will be available at the end of the week on Friday, as always. So check out WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com for that. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/RackRadioShow and buy the official Rack t-shirt. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, Ace, and Subway. It's the six-year show, so you never know what kind of crazy we're going to get into. WTR Sunday night, live, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern next week with Mason, Omega, and myself, as we'll recap everything that happened in the week in pro wrestling. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRProductions.net, Omega.
You can find me on Facebook at TJ Reviews or in any other part of the internet, be it Twitter, YouTube, or just as a normal website, you can find me at TJ Omega. And everything I do is archived over at TJOmega.org.
He's an entire organization, folks. He's a one-man organization?
Well, it used to be me and the snail. I am now accepting applications for a new crawling pet.
So if you have suggestions, tweet them at Wild Talk Radio or at TJ Omega. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lindsay Ward, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Under the Contact Us section is a link to my Redbubble store. Please click on the link if you'd like to buy my artworks, including Portrait of a Wyatt, which was featured tonight on the WWE app during Survivor Series. There's your third plug of the night. It is also featured on my Behance, behance.net/Lindsay Ward, where you can actually see the full process of how it was created and all the alternate versions, because there are actually about three versions of it now. So go check that out. Also listen to The Rack, which will be back after Thanksgiving, with all the fun and the mayhem, and listen to the Rack Extra this week because it may be awesome.
The one thing I did not mention, because we're going to give it Mace to plug now, the WTR Games Garage. Mace.
Yes, WTR Games Garage returns 9 p.m. this Friday night. As for what I will be playing, who fucking knows? Because before the Games Garage goes live, I will be picking up my new PlayStation 4. So it might be a PlayStation 4 game, it may be something else on the PlayStation 3, it may be something on PC, I have no idea yet, and I still can't feel my feet. You can follow me at The Mace Thing, you can try and follow me on Facebook, but I'll probably deny you because I'm a bastard like that. And Let's see. Is there anything else I need to do? Oh, yes. YouTube/users/WTR Games Garage, where I will be uploading another Pokemon digital packs opening. I have somewhere around 140 packs to open, as well as, fingers crossed, I will be covering the PlayStation 4 launch here in Australia on Thursday night in a nice little recap video. I'm just waiting for permission from EB Games. Other than that, I still can't feel my feet. I don't know why this is. However, it is becoming very concerning. And I'm going to stop talking now because I really am not saying anything of interest.
And one other final plug before we go, because Omega asked for it. We dug into the archives. From DDT Wrestling, I think that's what it was. Kenny Omega in action, Omega. It's available now.
Oh, that's probably one of the stranger things I've ever witnessed. And you can hear our reactions to it.
Yes, you check the Facebook and the Twitter, it's on there. So check it all out. So for Mace, Lindsay, and Omega, I'm Rock. We'll see you all week long right here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network on wildtalkradio.com. Now, Mace, what were you saying?
I feel my feet, and it's getting worrisome.
Start poking.
Oh, you feet, come back to me!
Start poking them with a stick.
I'm poking them with the other foot, but it's not working.
That's why you need to get a stick.
But that's a side effort.
I can't help you.
WildTalkRadio.com